about being loyal to my children. And I mean, I didn't know specifically what area I was going to focus on, and then that's amazing what you find by actually teaching what they're focusing on a single chapter, or in this case, the book of Samuel, the first Samuel. So, just providing some background, if you were hanging off a cliff and at the end of the rope, you would essentially want someone like Jonathan to be on the other end, because he's not going to let you fall. This is the kind of loyalty that I guess we all want in our friends, our family, our colleagues, our classmates, whatever it may be. But in fact, someone like Jonathan would have actually intervened and not let you get over the edge or get to that point to begin with. So that's the type of character that we're going to be dealing with today. We don't use the term loyalty so often. As a character trait, its meaning has been, like, I guess, confused and almost belittled. It's seen as being short-sighted, weak, or weak-willed. But occasionally, even loyalty can mean that you kind of have an allegiance or to serve your own purpose. But in actual fact, it's nothing like that. We look at Jonathan in the Bible. Loyalty is the character quality that comes to mind immediately. It's deep, it's unwavering, and it's even costly to Jonathan as a character or as a person. So, to his friend, we agree. He's loyal to his friend David, to the Lord himself, and to his king and father, King Saul. So now I'm going to just quickly give you a 3-minute context, just so we can actually get into it. So Saul, his father, Jonathan's father, was king when David fought Goliath, okay? So Goliath had asked for one of Saul's people to come and fight him. Saul was afraid, because in essence, they didn't have anyone in the army who actually wanted to fight. So David volunteered. Why? Because he trusted in God and that he would, in fact, protect him. So David, as we know, killed Goliath with a single stone, with one stone on it. And then from that point on, Jonathan admired David's courage and bravery. Why? Because he realized that David himself had faith in God like himself, right? So after that day, we read in 1 Samuel 18:1, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. So we can see this, the affirming of his friendship. Jonathan and David then made a promise or a covenant to themselves that they would look out and care for each other, and they promised to never let anything get in between them. So, as we all know, it's kind of tradition, when your father passes away, you're the heir to the throne. You know, it's assumed that Jonathan would then be next in line as king. But God revealed to Jonathan that David would actually replace Saul. So rather than being the jealous, the jealous type and just being really bitter about it all, Jonathan accepted God's will, okay? And he even gave David his robe, his sword, his belt, and his armor, as a gesture of the acceptance of the situation that God informed him of. And Jonathan was faithful to David, but more importantly, key here throughout this whole talk is that he was faithful to God and to his will. That was at the forefront of his mind at all times, irrespective of now he's going to best buddy in David, and also wants to be obedient to his father his father Saul. So, as we read, Saul kept David in his house to serve him throughout the first Samuel. David did whatever Saul sent him to do, and this is an additional piece of information. David was also married at one point to Jonathan's sister, so I guess he was Jonathan's brother-in-law as well. So he did everything, David did everything so well that Saul gave David quite a high rank in the army. And he was very pleasing to the people and praised David very much, to the point where King Saul was just going bonkers. He was really just becoming extremely jealous of David. So as a result of that, he plotted to kill him. So this is where David and Jonathan, as I was mentioning earlier, made that covenant with each other. And it was actually at the point where King Saul was going to invite David to what they call like a new moon feast. And we read in 1 Samuel 18:22, he was kind of going to create like a diversion for give David some sort of trigger if he was going to kill him to kind of do something else, and if not, we'll read it and you'll understand. It says, you will be missed because your seat will be empty. This is Jonathan told me today. The day after tomorrow, toward evening, go to the place where you hid when this trouble began and wait by the stone of Ezel. I will shoot 3 arrows to the side of it as though I were shooting at a target. Then I will send the boy and say, go find the arrows. If I say to him, look, the arrows are on this side of you, bring them here and come, because surely the Lord lives, you are safe and there is no danger. But if I say to the boy, look, the arrows are beyond you, then you must go because the Lord has sent David away. So obviously Jonathan's kind of just saying, worked out what was going on. Saul wants to kill David. He has an allegiance with a sense of loyalty to David and left him alone. So he risks his life for David. And once Saul caught on to this, he says, Saul's anger flared out at Jonathan and said to him, you son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you? As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die. But why should he be put to death? What has he done? Jonathan asked his father. But Saul hurled a spear at him to kill him. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. So why is it important to have a believing friend like David had with Jonathan? Believing friends, in essence, help us to stay in faith, just applying this practically. We can speak to them comfortably about our trials and tribulations. We can tell them of matters that trouble our conscience, and they can do the most precious thing that any friend could ever do, and that is just preach the gospel. They offer godly advice and offer prayers of word of comfort and support, right? So, as we read Ecclesiastes, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. And Samuel Ambrose confirms this and says, friendship that seeks virtue is rightly to be preferred to wealth, power, and personal safety. So now I'm just going to, that's the story, that's the context. Now I'm just going to get into how actually Jonathan exhibited or showed this loyalty specifically. So what aspects of loyalty can we unpack and apply practically in our lives? So one, he acted on his loyalty with courage and without any sort of hesitation. So as you know, as I've just mentioned, Jonathan was supposed to be next in line. He, at all times though, was obedient to his father. Whatever battle he was supposed to fight, he would fight and try to, I guess, when his father did not lead well or at all, Jonathan stayed true to his purposes of God and of Israel. So it didn't matter, he always put God's will before his own and before even his father's. Number two, he was inclusive as much as was possible for him to be. So Jonathan met David, as we know, after David killed Goliath. They were knit together, as we read 1 Samuel, and that deep love and loyalty grew between them. However, he obeyed his father as much as he could, and I love this about Jonathan, that he didn't cast off his relationship with his father just because he had this new allegiance with David, right? And this new friendship. How often do we kind of just listen to our friends' advice and don't even seek out our parents' advice? Like, it's more, he did what he could to really try and, I guess, reconcile the relationship between Saul, between and David, and even the relationship that he had with his father. So, and that's number three, he was selfless in his loyalty for the sake of those he loved. So, what we see is that he had this purest and truest kind of loyalty. It was a God-glorifying and unconditional loyalty, and most importantly, of love. And number four, he did not waver his loyalty even at the red cross. So as we kind of read through 1 Samuel, just snippets of it, from a human standpoint, if you read to the end, it wasn't necessarily a happy ending. Because we were told that when David was to become king, Jonathan would stand by David's side. But in actual fact, he died under King Saul's reign. Jonathan dies fighting the enemies of Israel in obedience to God and his father, faithful, loyal, courageous to the end. And he says to David, Do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul was that. David did become king, but Jonathan would not be by his side. Still, the king that David became was forever altered by how God actually used Jonathan in his life. Isn't that just so, like, it's so beautiful? He, as much as he wasn't standing by his side at the very end, what Jonathan taught him throughout David's life affected him as king going forward. Right? And now if we think about Jonathan, what of Jonathan? Generations who have read this story, have hopes that we can have, and with God's help, have that love that Jonathan had, to be truly, truly loyal. And, this is, in my opinion, greater than any legacy of being king behind. So how would our churches and workplaces, our friendships, our relationships be different today if we truly determined, if we were determined to be truly and wholly loyal in our relationships? So just in providing some points to ponder on as I finish,
do we serve our friends with loyalty? Do we actually ask them how they're truly going? Ask them how can we be of assistance to them? How can we shape them? How do they need that godly support? And even when it comes to service, do we serve wholeheartedly and fight to the end like Jonathan did, knowing that the ultimate purpose of serving is heaven, right? Are we obedient to God's will and help and shape those godly relationships with others? Just a few things to think about in your own personal life. But I conclude, the verse from Proverbs 3, verse 3 to 4, which says, "Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute."